This is Gulf Coast Live from WGCU News. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. Today's edition of the show is an encore presentation from some of our recent conversations showcasing Southwest Florida's musical talent. In the second half of the program, we listen back to Southwest Florida's own award-winning and multifaceted guitarist, John Housley. He joined us last month upon the release of his new album, The Heart's Furnace. Housley is perhaps best known for his work with the multi-platinum southern rock band Blackfoot and performances with the highly popular Southwest Florida-based band A200. But this new album explores a whole other side of his music talents and interests. His new album features classical guitar songs in the Nuevo Flamenco style. We'll talk with John about his musical journey and hear selections from the new album. But first, we're listening back to our conversation with the Southwest Florida rock, soul, and funk band Soulixer. Let's hear that conversation now. We're joined by the Southwest Florida-based band Soulixer, who will be performing live in studio. The band performs prolifically at venues throughout the region and delivers a high-energy mix of soul, funk, and rock music, with influences including the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Sublime, Mos Def, James Brown, and Cage the Elephant, to name a few. Joining me now are band members Casey Dillard on drums, Thomas O'Brien on lead guitar and vocals, and Mason Rainick on bass. Welcome all of you to Gulf Coast Live. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
And as always, I invite listeners to join the conversation. Call in at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. And to start off, you know, I mentioned in that brief introduction Soulixer's style and influences, but how did you characterize your style and the genres you pull from?
It's always changing. That's the difficult part. So when we first started, it was kind of a funk jam band, and the more we progressed, we focus on songwriting a lot of the time. Kings of Leon being another band that we just love and adore. Jeff Buckley, John Mayer, just good songs all around. So we just try to write good songs.
And tell me a bit about how the band got started. I understand you were all kind of fairly young when you came together.
Yeah,
we definitely were. I played with Casey and Thomas separately, and it was in high school. And we met each other when we were going into high school. And Thomas and I just clicked and played music together every day. And once Casey came back from college, we knew we had a drummer that was right for us.
All right. And I know that at least some of you actually studied at the Berklee School of Music. Is that correct?
Yeah, we all got accepted. I was the only one that actually attended the school, but we all went up together, lived there together, went to the same jams, hung out with the same people. I even brought them to a bunch of classes and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I was going
to
say,
so it's like we went together.
Between us, I kind of snuck my way in on there. So.
Well, tell me a little bit about that experience as well. I mean, over the last 20 years of my visits to Boston, they've always been dominated by going to music venues like the Middle East or Toad or these places. It's got a real lively local music scene there. Did that impact or influence your sound?
Oh, it totally did. I mean, we've actually played the Middle East a couple times, so that's funny. But yeah, it absolutely influenced us. We are surrounded by fantastic musicians, and there's a lot of hip-hop soul vibe going on up there. And it was also at a very crucial point in our growing career where we're trying to find our sound. And we had put out a first record, a first EP that was a little bit more soul vibe, because we were honestly surrounded by kids that were really into that, and so were we, at the time. And I think by doing that, it has helped us channel our sound into becoming like more indie rock and who we actually want to be, like, for our overall career. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah. Well, before we go into any more conversation, let's go ahead and hear our first song and maybe tell us the title and tell us a little bit about it by way of introduction.
Absolutely. This song is the first single off our latest EP, and it's called Kayla. It's about this girl I was in love with, and things just don't always work out, but once you have somebody that like that in your life, you can always go back to that and say, I was lucky to have that. It's kind of what it is, so it's called Kayla. Got no money for the rent, I spend my paycheck. Sun is setting, clock's ticking, but I'm taking my time. Going out tonight. On the road, all alone, ain't got no numbers. Feeling slow, but I'm so damn tired. Fine, you'll be fine.
tough when you're trying hard just to have fun. Searching for the sun. All my friends reminisce about the past times. Good or bad, we still dance by the fire. Oh, we're getting a little high.
That was Kayla, the original song by Southwest Florida's own Soulixer. They're performing live on WGCU's Gulf Coast Live today. We're joined by band members Thomas O'Brien, Casey Dillard, and Mason Reinick. And Thomas, just tell me a little bit about your own musical background. Was the guitar the first instrument you picked up?
I think it was the piano when I was in fifth grade. My dad had a piano, and he would teach me a few things on it. And then I started listening to the Beatles, and the Beatles is what really sent me over the edge, where I was like, I should do this music stuff. The guitar, everything after that just came naturally.
Yeah, so singing came a bit later?
Yeah, about a year after I picked up the guitar, started writing songs, and had to sing them, so...
And, you know, a lot of times when we speak with musicians, they'll say, you know, their families provided a lot of that early introduction or encouragement and not just appreciating, but also playing music. Was that the case for you?
My parents have great musical taste. They're not musicians, but they know what good music is, and they've always showed me. And actually, if anything, Mason has influenced me to a lot of music that's kind of helped me grow into who I am now. So if anything, I'd say Mason's a huge musical inspiration for me.
Wow. And what about you, Mason? Same question, where you're, you know, has your family been really influential in getting you started? And before you answer, I'm going to ask Casey to get out from behind the drums and come up and share the mic with Thomas, because I'm going to ask you some questions.
Absolutely.
In a minute.
So, my parents are not musicians, but I was very fortunate to have super, super supporting parents that were all about music and exposing me to lots of different kinds of music as a young kid. And when I told them I wanted to learn to play the bass when I was just a little kid, they were all about it and told me there was no quitting. And, you know, there is no quitting for me now. So.
All right. So bass was your first true love?
Yeah,
it
started when I was like 6 or 7 years old. It was like my favorite thing as a little kid, and it's still my favorite thing now.
Wow. What about you, Casey? Were drums first for you?
Well, my dad would always play like some weird music, like anything from Beethoven to the Beatles to Black Flag or whatever. But I always had this kind of grand envision, I think like a lot of kids have, of being like an astronaut or a policeman. It was me with like being a rock star with a guitar. So I started with that. Wasn't working out, and I just stumbled in my garage one night, and my whole life there had been a drum set there, and I didn't notice it until that day, and I just remember sitting down, and it was just clicked. It was awesome.
All right.
So, yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and hear our second song from Soulixer. And again, I'll just ask you to give us the title and maybe a little bit of an introduction.
Sure. The song is called Libra. It's actually one of the newest songs we have. We were just in Nashville. We recorded it. And it should be coming out soon. But it's basically just about, again, losing a bit of love and gaining a bit of yourself in the mix of it. So it's called Libra.
Thank you.
said goodbye. 4 months have gone, flashing, I'm asking why. You won't reply to my notes. You wrote me twice months ago, but I seen some guy, and I'm still trying for the girl with broken dreams and sunken eyes. Where have you run? Where have you run up to? Are you running for me? Are you running for you? Never fed me lies with the spoon you used to cover my eyes. To my surprise, you were cruel, but everyone else knew. Now I'm thinking it's time I stop trying for the girl with broken dreams and sunken eyes. Where have you gone?
Southwest Florida's own Soulixer performing one of their newer songs, Libra, that's been recorded on a yet-to-be-released album, so we'll be looking for that soon. And we're speaking with members of the band Casey Dillard, Thomas O'Brien, and Mason Rainick. We were just talking about recording. I know back in 2015 you recorded an EP up in Boston. Then Skydive was recorded later that year. I see Daryl Nutt's name on there, so I know that was a local recording. And then in 2017, last year, you recorded Sunchild. Again, engineering expertise from another name from our local music scene, Caleb Neff. And you just talked about recording recently in Nashville. Tell me about your experiences in the studio. Is that something that you enjoy, or do you kind of find it more tedious and prefer, you know, the energy of the live audience?
Yeah. That's a good question, because we're primarily a live band. We get, you know, that's how we you know, make it work and everything. But when we get in the studio, I love it personally. I don't know about you, but I love it. You get to explore a few more options than you would if you were just playing live. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, I think that we are very fortunate to work with producers that understand that we're a live band and do their best to make us feel like we're still like giving each other the energy of being in the same room while, you know, recording songs in the studio. So
absolutely, absolutely. And you know, you've had a pretty ambitious performance schedule as of late, including shows at Society, City Tavern, Fathoms, and then last month you were at the Ritz Resort in Naples. Do you find that you change or tweak your style, or even maybe what songs you perform based on the venue? Because I'm just thinking at the Ritz-Carlton, it might be a little bit of a different audience than, say, City Tavern.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, at first we do kind of feel the crowd out, see what's going to work. And funnily enough, though, the more we start to play, the more looser people get. We can kind of you know, push the boundaries in a way. But yeah, we do cater to our audience, depending on who it is.
Yeah. Does that come into maybe your approach to doing cover songs as well?
Yes, absolutely.
I think that when we do cover songs, we try to make them sound as much like us as we can. So we don't try to make them sound exactly like the records, so that when we do play for an audience that maybe isn't the same as, you know, like you said, the Ritz and City Tavern, we can still sound like us. So by the after a set, people have warmed up, and then we can work our own songs in and kind of move the vibe a certain way, like, you know.
Gotcha.
What I mean?
Yeah, so they know the song, but
yeah,
it's
exactly.
Still you guys.
And that's... then by the end of the set, we're playing what we really want to play, and they're like okay with listening to it because they've already heard the ones they like.
Oh, I see. Baby steps, kind of, yeah, bring them in,
tricking them into liking us. That's what we do.
Well, let's go ahead and hear another song from you guys. Sure. And again, just tell us a little bit about it.
This one's called Close Enough. Also recorded in Nashville, one of our brand new ones. It's probably the newest, if we're just going to say writing, because it was written maybe 2 months ago. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Say goodbye to the man you met who fell in love in late July. Spill your heart out, don't spit no lies. Tell me everything I wanna hear in one big time. Oh, wait until you want it. Listen up, baby, I need it. Please don't fight me if you wanna. Go ahead and take him by the hand. Close your eyes and kiss and listen. Never see me again. Look, come on.
Deep in your eyes, there's things I should have done, moves that I should have tried. But see, I find it hard to treat you right. There's so much on my mind, I toss and turn at night. So if you want to say goodbye to the man you met who fell in love in late July, spill your heart out, don't spit no lies. Tell me everything I wanna hear and hold me tight. Oh, wait until you want it. It's alright, baby, I need it. Please don't fight me if you wanna. Go ahead and take him by the hand. Close your eyes and kiss your lips. You'll never see me again. If you want it, it's alright, baby, I need it. Please don't fight if you wanna. Go ahead and take him by the hand. Close your eyes and kiss your lips. You'll never see me again. Well, come on.
Another brand new song from Southwest Florida's own Soul Exer that was Close Enough. Band members Mason Reinick, Thomas O'Brien, and Casey Dillard are graciously joining us in studio today. And we just got a few minutes left here, so I just wanted to ask about your songwriting process. How does that work? Is there kind of one of you that writes the songs? Is it a collaborative process?
It's a collaborative process. I'll spend quite a bit of time at home writing a guitar part and a melody that can go along with it. And a few lyrics, just a few ideas, and I'll get kind of a skeleton. I'll bring it over to Mason, and then he'll help me kind of structure and arrange it in a way that can be somewhat more catchy and a bit more open and hard to explain, but
yeah. Another thing we like to do too is, like, especially since we've been, you know, best friends for so long and been writing so much music together and playing since we were kids, there's like this giant repertoire of stuff that we've never used. So sometimes he'll come with me to a new song and I'll be like, remember that thing we did when we were 15 that's like, exactly, goes like this? Like, damn, that would work right there. Yeah. It would work well there, you know?
Kind of like accessing a part of your own brain.
Exactly. We're sharing one, yeah.
All right. Well, since we are kind of coming up on the end of the hour and I want to make sure we can get one more song in there, I just want to say thank you so much for being here. We've been speaking with members of Southwest Florida's own Soulixer. That's Casey Dillard on drums, Thomas O'Brien on lead guitar and vocals, and Mason Rannick on bass. You can catch them tonight at Firestone Sky Bar in downtown Fort Myers, on Friday and Saturday at City Tavern, also in downtown Fort Myers. They play every Wednesday at the Downtown Social House in downtown Fort Myers, and they're back at the Firestone Sky Bar next Thursday, June 21st, and at the Cigar Bar's Gulf Coast Town Center location next Friday evening. You can follow them on Facebook to stay on top of all their upcoming performances. We're taking a short break, but when we return, it's an encore of our conversation with Southwest Florida guitar powerhouse John Housley. He's perhaps best known for his work in rock bands, but today we'll hear selections from his new album of classic guitar songs in the Nuevo Flamenco style. But first, Soulixer takes us out with one more song.
This is a song called 4568.
And the attitude of a real rock star. There's no shortage of ballads and barn burners on his debut. Sometimes it's big and chunky, sometimes quiet and reserved. Wells performs and talks to our contributing host, Kaleo, on the next World Cafe.
Friday night at 9 on WGCU, NPR for Southwest Florida.
I'm Robin Young. Fab Five member Tan France talks to us about the new season of Queer Eye, what it's like to be an ambassador for the LGBTQ community, and how his role on the show is more than just fashion.
I don't just want them to look externally fantastic. I want them to be the best version of themselves that they can be.
That's next time, here and now.
Today at 3 on WGCU, NPR for Southwest Florida.
I'm Ira Flatow. On the next Science Friday, we discuss the rise and fall of the dinosaurs with paleontologist Steve Brusati, from the heyday of the Jurassic to our modern dinosaurs, birds, plus tales of the fossil hunters who paved the way. It's the best thing since Jurassic Park on Science Friday from WNYC Studios.
Tomorrow at 2 on WGCU, NPR for Southwest Florida.
Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm John Davis. Award-winning and multifaceted guitarist John Housley joins us in studio for the remainder of the hour upon the release of his new album of classical guitar songs in the Nuevo Flamenco style. The album is titled The Heart's Furnace. Housley has been playing and teaching guitar since his early teen years. He also founded the Ann Arbor Academy of Music, which averaged some 400 students per week under his leadership. In 1995, he joined the multi-platinum winning Southern rock band Blackfoot before eventually making his way back to Southwest Florida, where he teaches and plays with the highly popular modern rock band A200. However, this represents just one aspect of Housley's musical talents and interests. In addition to writing and producing music, his repertoire spans the history of the guitar, with an emphasis on the Spanish guitar style, exemplified by composers such as Villa-Lobos, as well as works from classical composers such as Bach. John Housley, welcome to Gulf Coast Live. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me, John.
And listeners can connect with John with your comments and questions. Join the conversation by calling 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. So, John, I mentioned you first picked up the guitar at an early age, around like 14. But then within 2 years, you were already teaching others. So, I mean, yes, of course, a lot of hard work and practice, but do you feel like you kind of had a like an innate capacity for the guitar as well? Did it just come to you?
You know, I was, as a child, was exposed to music with my grandfather and my father. But at the age of 14, I finally got one for my own for my birthday. And it was just infectious, you know, I mean, hours a day. And was fortunate that at the age of 16, when I could finally drive, there was a local music store that needed a guitar instructor. And so the hard work and maybe, you know, propensity for it,
yeah.
The two married together to create an opportunity. So.
Was guitar the first instrument you picked up as a kid?
Yeah, it's the only instrument I've ever really played. You know, I tried violin for a moment, just but the pads of my hands were a little too large to get a half step out of the instrument, so guitar it was.
Yeah. Well, it seems like teaching others has been like an integral part of your life in music. I mentioned the Ann Arbor Academy of Music in your hometown. Tell me about that.
Yeah, when I was I started teaching at the age of 16 and pretty much ran students continuously. For me, I enjoy it, sharing your craft, developing, you know, answering the unanswered question for them in ways, and have to come with different angles to answer that. As I taught more and more, I would work at music stores, teach. And then Al Nally at Ann Arbor, at the Nally Music Store, finally one day just said, John, why don't we just give you a building and have you teach? And I'm like, thank you, Al. So
yeah.
Off we went and started doing our private instruction in a separate building.
Do you still find time to teach today?
Yes. Yeah, I was doing the Fort Myers Music Academy, but the overhead wasn't making financial sense.
Gotcha.
So I still teach. Mondays are my teach day, and you know, it keeps me in touch with the instrument and students. And
sure. Sure. And what came first for you, the more classical style or styles of playing, or was it the rock music?
You know, when I grabbed a guitar, I didn't even listen to music. So I got a guitar, and it was tactile for me. I just enjoyed physically playing the instrument. And then I started scratching my sister's records, her Eagles records, and her you know, Peter Frampton records.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of grew into the popular music of the day, the rock music of the day, 70s rock. And then when I was 16, it was, through my 15, 16s, after playing for a couple of years, it's like, this is what I want to do. And if I want to do this, I need to figure out how to do all of it, and diversify. So that's when, I started studying jazz and classical guitar. And as soon as I picked up classical guitar, because of that tactile quality, there's no pick. So both hands are on the strings producing the sound. And it was just beautiful for me. And so it's always had a very intimate part of my heart for the classical and the flamenco style especially.
Well, let's go ahead and hear our first song from The Heart's Furnace, and this is Chilean Sky. What can you tell us about this song by way of introduction before we hear it?
Yeah, Chilean Sky was in the 90s when I moved here. I used to perform in Naples and had a group of friends, a circle of friends that were from Chile. And I would go over to these parties, and they would just have music on, and the Gypsy Kings at the time were playing, and everybody is dancing, and it's just this festival, this ferocious festival of joy in the room, and everybody is just, it's just so alive. So with this song, Chilean Sky, was me imagining myself in that environment from the origin of it, and just kind of projecting that ecstatic, passionate joy.
All right, well, let's hear it.
All right.
Not in Barcelona. That was Southwest Florida guitarist John Housley performing Chilean Sky. It's the first track on his new album of beautiful flamenco guitar music titled The Heart's Furnace. You can connect with John now by calling 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. And in 1995 and or 96, I'm not sure exactly which year, you joined this, you know, the well-known multi-platinum award-winning southern rock band Blackfoot. Tell me about that experience. Just, I mean, they're known for touring yes. prolifically.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was working at Nally Music, Ricky, Al Nally manages Blackfoot. And Ricky was always in the store. And Ricky and I kind of, you know, we became friends there. I've known him for 25 plus years. And there was a period where I went out, was on a touring with a touring band, came back, started teaching at Nally again, which was kind of my home base. And Al called me up to the office and said, "Hey, John, you want to play guitar for Ricky?" You know, because they were in need of a guitar player. And I'm, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, go down to Florida." So I came down to Florida, moved down here. And
so that's what initially brought you to
yes,
our neck of the woods?
Yeah, yeah. Coming down here, they set up camp down here. And they still have camp. They've got a lineup now where they have local artists, local musicians that are carrying on the Blackfoot tradition. And Ricky does a lot of the writing of the music, and then they'll record it and take it out and tour with it still. So,
yeah, I know Blackfoot, you know, there's a relatively high level of turnover. And I read about other band members who, you know, just didn't quite understand how rigorous the touring schedule was going to be. Did you find that to be true?
You know, working with Ricky was just such an amazing experience. He's such a graceful guy. I mean, he would give me half the solos. He would just share his stage with you. He was just such a joy to work with and learn so much from him. He was just such a natural at it. We would be on the road and he would run into somebody in St. Louis and call him by name and ask him how the lure they're using on the, you know, for the fishing was. And,
yeah.
You know, he just retained this information that, you know, was just, he was just amazing. So, yeah, the touring was never a problem for me because I love that gypsy life, so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, tell me about, let's focus a bit on the new album. Is this the first time you've done like a you know, studio recording of flamenco music?
Yeah, this was my first shot at this hybrid of the flamenco nuevo style, much in the style of Otmar Lieber, the Gypsy Kings, drawing on that, which is drawing on the flamenco tradition, but giving it more of a pop feel. Mm-hmm. And it's gives you some freedom. You know, so you have to carry the melody because there's no singing, so you have to establish melodies that become familiar and then break away and solo a bit and come back to those melodies. And it's just been a wonderful experience. So.
And just to help me understand further, I mean, the songs you've selected, are these compositions that are written for the guitar, or are they sometimes written for other instruments and then you have to do a little bit of composing and working yourself?
Yeah, all these, basically, I wrote all the songs. I gave myself a writing exercise. It's like, all right,
wow.
Today I have to write a song. And I would sit down and write a song. And I did that for about 2 weeks and came up with the tracks that came on this album. And then I would re-record the songs because to make sure that the tuning was correct on all of them. Because when I'm jotting the idea down, I'm not paying attention to the details. I'm just getting the idea down, sketching it. And then re-record them, and then that's ultimately what ended up. So,
tell us about the title of the album, The Heart's Furnace. What made you choose that?
A friend of mine, Tim Smith, we were in a band together back in the 80s, and he was primarily a writer, a poet, just amazing with words, a wordsmith. And The Heart's Furnace was a poem that he had written that title just always stuck with me, you know, the play on the metaphor of the heart and the furnace. And so it's kind of like that fire in the soul of all of us, you know, and that's... So I borrowed it from my friend Tim. So.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and hear another song from the album. And this is Morning's Call. Introduce this one for us.
Yeah. Morning's Call is a song that just kind of like has that, just woke up, cup of coffee in your hand, you step outside, the day greets you, you know, and that's the idea behind this one.
All right. Well, let's hear Morning's Call. Thank you. was Morning's Call from guitarist John Housley. It's on his new album of Nuevo Flamenco guitar music titled The Heart's Furnace. And John, can you give us maybe kind of a brief primer on, you know, the history or roots of this style of music? I mean, I know it originated in Spain, but beyond that.
Yeah, it's flamenco originally came from the Middle East as the gypsies migrated out. And then Spain, as they settled in there, it kind of took form. And then as we see now with, the Gypsy Kings and Otmar Lieber, you get this hybrid, which is kind of like a popularized, not so much necessarily honoring the tradition of flamenco, but borrowing from it to create, you know, that passionate fiery, which kind of bridges between classical guitar and flamenco guitar. Classical guitar being different techniques, but yeah, with that fire of the flamenco, when you hear it, it just lights you up. So this gets to that popular feel of flamenco guitar.
Is there something really stark you think that maybe perhaps distinguishes Nuevo Flamenco from an older form of flamenco?
Yeah, I think a lot of it would be just drawing more on the song, the popular song format. Like when you listen to a Bulearas, a different type of, like each song has a song that originated from a certain area or part of the country. And when you listen to them, you'll notice very much like a waltz might have a boom, ta, ta, boom, ta, ta. You're going to notice that waltz feel. Well, with these, some of these songs will borrow some of that feel, like the 12 count and where the accents are. But for the most part, you get more to the popularized, you know, song structure. Like with these, you'll have a verse, chorus kind of a feel with a bridge every now and then. It's that you create, you know, it's like when you listen to Star Wars, when Luke Skywalker comes out, there's a theme that you recognize. Oh, that's the Luke theme. And so that music takes on, you know, a character that moves through those tensions and releases.
I notice on the recordings, you're not the only musician featured there.
Yeah, my friend Steve Reich performed all the bass tracks, and without the bass on these, I definitely feel it would lie a little flat in comparison. So it's been wonderful working with him also.
Well, kudos and thank you, Steve, for your contributions there. When you're playing classical guitar or flamenco guitar, does this require or do you prefer to use perhaps a different type of instrument than you would, say, playing rock music? I mean, obviously there's acoustic and electric.
Right. Yeah, with classical and flamenco, even those guitars are different. The types of woods that are used in the flamenco guitar and the thickness of the body, those are different. Also with the flamenco guitar, you'll have the tap boards where you're getting the techniques for the tapping on the soundboard. And both of those use nylon strings because you're playing with your fingers. And the nylon string is not – it's going to be easier on your nails, which is helping produce the tone. The steel string, I think a steel string instrument came out in the mid-1800s as more of a folk music. You played in pubs and such. Mm. The strings are different. The guitars are different. The techniques are obviously different. It's a completely different technique for the right hand because you're not using a plectrum. And so it presents, you know, it's like a completely different discipline.
Yeah, yeah. I recently read a Facebook meme about bass players that read something like this, and I was wondering if maybe this was something you could identify with the different styles of music you play. But what it said was, like, rock band bassists play a few notes for thousands of people, while jazz bassists play thousands of notes for a few people. Is that something you can identify with?
That's popular music. I mean, jazz used to be the popular music.
Right.
So at that point, they were playing a lot of notes for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so culturally now, pop music has taken harmonically a little more simple path. It's a little, you know, it's when you look at blues-derived pop music, you know, jazz was, you know, borrows from the blues tradition also. But, yeah, it's going to be a pop music is just a more fundamental structure. It's kind of like most people do rudimentary math. And, you know, if you want to get to calculus, it takes a little more study, and jazz music is kind of more calculus-oriented. It's going to be a lot more harmonically going on, modulations. To articulate over the changes takes more discipline and grace and a lot more studying, a lot more practice.
Do you sometimes maybe feel a bit like you're kind of living almost like a double life? Because on the one hand, you've got, you know, the hard rock edge, playing, you know, with an ensemble, places like the Buddha Rock Club. And then I imagine that's got to be worlds away from, you know, the aesthetic and the venues right. that you play when you're doing solo.
Yeah. Yeah, everything's about it. The way you dress is different.
Yeah.
That's where, for me, the rock is kind of like this wild energy that you're writing. You know, it's loud. It's, you know, it's a lot of room for improvisation, distortion. You know, it's very industrial in that sense. Classical and the flamenco nuevo style has a lighter, graceful air to it. And both are rewarding, but there are times when it, you know, it's like you literally do put on a different hat.
Well, are there, you know, any upcoming venues where you'll be performing the, you know, flamenco style or more traditional guitar music where folks might be able to catch you? Or is that usually like private parties?
Yeah, right now it's like I play classical guitar and the flamenco style. I do a lot of country clubs, private parties there. There's different venues. But I haven't been able to find, you know, I'm looking for, you know, possibly finding some finer dining or some restaurants / clubs that have a need for that. So I've just started searching for that now. So
all right. We'll talk after this recording. I've got some venues in mind.
Okay.
let's go ahead and hear our fourth song, Melodic Dance.
Yes.
Tell us about this one.
Yeah, Melodic Dance, it borrows from the flamenco tradition of the 12 count, and then also the main melody uses a melodic minor scale, which is kind of a tough one to write with because it's a certain set of notes ascending and a different set descending. So to make that smooth melody out of it can be a little more challenging than just a straight scale set. It's something you'll hear in classical music a lot, but and in jazz also. But so I borrowed the melodic minor for the melody on this. It was a writing exercise for me.
All right. Well, let's hear Melodic Dance. This has been an encore presentation of our conversation with multifaceted and award-winning Southwest Florida guitarist John Housley, and we've been hearing selections from his new album of classical guitar music in the Nuevo Flamenco style, titled The Heart's Furnace. Go to johnhousley.net/music to find out more about John or to book him for a local event. The new album, The Heart's Furnace, is available on CD, on iTunes, and on Spotify. Our show today was produced by Mike Canary and myself. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm John Davis. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.